Welcome to the PapaCast on the Gridiron. Now here's your host, Bob Papa.
So glad you can join us for another edition of the PapaCast, and we are pleased to be joined by award-winning journalist. You see him on TV, obviously, the MMQB, the Monday Morning Quarterback. Peter King joins us here on the PapaCast. Peter, thanks for a couple minutes. How are you?
Hey, Bob. How's it going?
It is going well, Peter. And obviously, you did some tremendous reporting with regards to this Peyton Manning story. It was in the Monday Morning Quarterback. You had a chance to talk with Peyton Manning. Can you describe the level of frustration that he felt in even dealing with this story?
Well, Bob, I've known Manning since 1998, since he came into the league. And I've always known him to be kind of a control freak. You know, he wants to control all the variables around him that will determine whether he succeeds or fails. And this is one of the few times I've ever seen him not having any control of a situation. I think if you could describe a situation that Manning would have no control of, it would be, you know, involving an intern at a place where he received medical care 4 years ago, and with a story broken by a news organization that is based in the Middle East. I mean, so Manning has, like, man, I mean, that's part of his frustration. He goes, what do I do? I mean, at one point he said to me, basically, he goes, so there's a story here that is absolutely untrue about me, and a guy recants the story that is absolutely untrue about me, and yet it's still a story. He goes, you got to tell me how journalism works. And he was sort of joking, but not really. He's serious about it. And look, time will tell if the story has any legs at all. I don't know if it does. I've known Manning. I would be surprised, let's just say this, if the story were true. But again, I want to remind you of one thing. I asked the Al Jazeera reporter on Sunday, and I said this on NBC on Sunday night, I asked the Al Jazeera reporter, do you have evidence that Peyton Manning used HGH, or are you, I forget how I worded it, are you charging that Peyton Manning used HGH? And she said, what we are saying and what is in our program is that HGH was mailed to Peyton Manning's wife at an address in Florida. So, again, people are going to have to decide what they believe, what they don't believe, but as of now, at least in my opinion, there's not enough proof for me to believe that Peyton Manning ever used HGH.
Peter, also in your reporting, you spoke with the people behind this report with Al Jazeera, and they're insisting that they have records that prove that this intern was an intern at the facility at the time, even though the facility denies that he was there at that time and he didn't arrive until 2013.
This is probably the biggest problem that I would think that this clinic has in the statement that it issued. They issued a statement that said basically this guy came on board, I think it was the spring of 2013. They had a date, I think May 18th or something, March 18th, in 2013. And yesterday Al Jazeera released a recording. They sent me a transcript of this recording. And I was amazed that at 4:32 a.m. Monday, I'm working on Monday Morning Quarterback, and this thing pops in, this recording, and not the recording itself, but this Word document, you know, which they said was the transcript of the report of the recording between them and the Anti-Aging Institute in Indianapolis. And yesterday they released on Monday they released the recording of the interview when they called the Anti-Aging Agency Institute and asked for Charles Sly's dates of employment. for employment verification. That's what they did. And the woman on the other end of the phone said October 17th, 2011. So someone is not telling the truth. And that, I think, is probably the next brick in the wall in this story, I would think.
Peter, obviously, you know, people are going to say Al Jazeera. I mean, come on, really? You're a journalist, and you're a respected journalist. Can you put into the context, in context for our audience, how legitimate or not legitimate this news organization is and the reporting that they do in other areas?
I had one NFL owner who is a world traveler and has businesses in different parts of the world. Okay, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me saying who he is, but because he did not, we were just talking about this, I'm not going to say who it is, but I had one NFL owner say to me on Monday that Al Jazeera, he was glad that I kind of knocked Ditka, Mike Ditka, in my column, because Ditka said Al Jazeera is garbage. Well, Al Jazeera essentially is the CNN of the Middle East, and they have branched out. They have bureaus all over the world. They have a bureau in Washington. And I've had people who I know in the news business. I'm a little bit of a news nerd, news junkie, and over the last few years, people have said this is one of the few big media companies in the world hiring, and actually hiring some talented people. They've taken people away from BBC, for instance, and they report all around the world. So, look, Al Jazeera is, you know, people laugh when they hear, oh, Al Jazeera is reporting, oh, really? But Al Jazeera in the news business is a fairly respected organization. And so, and clearly they've done some very good investigative reporting over the years. Now, obviously, we can all look at this and we can all say that the two people involved in the uncovering of this, one sort of a disgraced British athlete, you know, who declared bankruptcy in a pretty questionable business, and an intern who was taped for somewhere between 20 and 27 hours surreptitiously, and then once he found out that it was going to become public, recanted everything and said, everything I said in all those hours is a lie. Well, you know, so it's an odd, let's just say it's an odd story, but it doesn't rise to the level of, let's take Manning off his pedestal right now. It just rises to the level of, let's ask some questions about this.
Peter, just to move in a couple different directions in our limited time here, a question about coaches. Obviously, there's teams getting ready for the postseason. There's still teams in the mix, but there are other teams that are already looking toward 2016. How many coaching changes do you think will be in the NFL once again this year?
I think there's going to be between 7 and 11, Bob. It's because we just don't know in several places. First of all, there's always one jaw dropper, you know, and I don't know which one that's going to be. We can all just guess. But, you know, there are some places where you simply don't know. You never know what John Mara is going to do with the Giants. I would think he has to be hugely disappointed in what's happened over the last month. You know, both on and off, you know, on the field, certainly, you know, some of the behavior stuff with Beckham and all that. I mean, he's got to be very disappointed how they basically didn't show up very well on a Sunday night in Minnesota. But I mean, I don't think anybody really knows what's going to happen with the Giants. Who really knows what Jerry Jones is thinking now with Jason Garrett? He said he's basically my lifetime coach, but he and a lot of people in the Dallas front office are scratching their heads saying that, are you telling me that we can't win with a backup quarterback when Brandon Whedon goes somewhere else and wins a division? So, I mean, there's some frustration in Dallas that you don't know. And, you know, there's other places that appear to be very logical. San Diego, Detroit, obviously, you know, appear to be on the verge of making changes. But I think most of the, Miami, obviously, most of the other places, I think, and Tennessee, most of the other places, I think, fall into the 60-40 percentage. And I would just say one other thing, Bob. I think some of these places, too, have a little asterisk on them from the standpoint of what's going to happen to the front office. And some owners want to hire a general manager first and then have the owner and general manager pick the coach. And yet the best team in the league over the last 3 years, the Seattle Seahawks, they picked a coach first and went out and hired a general manager who didn't even know the coach.
Right.
And that seems to have worked pretty well. So essentially, it is a very, very hard crystal ball to forecast.
Two guys in wrapping up. Will Chip Kelly be the head coach of the Eagles to start 2016, and will Sean Payton still be in New Orleans?
I think Chip Kelly will be in Philadelphia, and with one asterisk, unless he tells Jeff Lurie, look, I'd really like to go coach Marcus Mariota, and maybe you can get a first-round pick for it, and maybe even the first pick in the draft. Let's try to work that out. I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think my sense, and from talking to people in the organization, he's not mentioned one word about doing anything after the season except trying to figure out how to fix the Eagles. I think the Sean Payton thing is one of these that I would put 50% he stays, 50% he goes, for a very simple reason. I don't think he, Tom Benson, Mickey Loomis, they're not sure, each one of them, exactly what they want to do. And so that's why I think that one is also firmly up in the air.
Peter King, the MMQB, we appreciate a couple of minutes. Thank you so much for joining us, Peter, for great insight and great reporting work. And fans, check out the MMQB. Follow Peter on Twitter. Follow the Monday Morning Quarterback on Twitter, at the MMQB. Peter, Happy New Year, and thank you so much for your time today.
Same to you, Bob. Have a great New Year, and good luck with the podcast.
Thank you. The great Peter King joining us on this edition of the PapaCast.